Sky Baptist Church, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here again, coming remotely. Let me pray in the service, as most of us probably have a contemplative heart this morning. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come remotely, for the people of God, for the people listening. We pray by God's grace that the word goes forth, that it becomes like living water, like fresh rain that comes upon the dew. We pray, Lord, for your providence to show forth as it does throughout in the book of Ruth. Lord, we pray for, Lord, obviously for George Floyd's family this morning, as obviously what we've witnessed over the last week, well, couple of days, and it's just been a world turned upside down. So let us know that you are in control. Let us know, Father, that you are alive and well. And we just pray, Lord, for mercy this morning as we preach and teach your word, Lord. Bless us and keep us, not because of who we are, but who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You know, this has been a contemplative week, for sure, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. Which the whole world has basically witnessed. And this is a sad occurrence. And the thing about this is, I see this, Taylor, these are the ones, Benjamin, that are supposed to uphold the law. They're supposed to uphold the law. And in front of many witnesses, we've seen that not to be the case. Now, this act that we've witnessed has brought about some peaceful protest. But for the most part, we have seen civil unrest, where participants are becoming hostile, stealing and looting for unjust gain. In fact, this morning I was notified that they had a unlawful assembly in Scottsdale. And in the wake of all this, what's there is an unjust murder and a family grieving, searching for answers that may never come. They, like the world, are in a state of unrest. That's why we played the song this morning for us, that as far as the east is from the rest, we can find rest in the things of God. But right now we are in a state of unrest, coupled with the coronavirus, where social distancing has now become a byword, especially in the light of what we've witnessed in this last week. As I mentioned yesterday in my blurb, we dedicate this sermon to the Floyd family, praying someday when all is said and done, that God in his ultimate mercy will give that grieving family a God-given rest that would pass all understanding. Like the psalmist depicts, like a weaned child at rest upon his mother. Please help them, Lord. We pray to help them. We also pray for Anaya, Glinda's granddaughter, who has tested positive for COVID-19. This is a lot to bear. This is near and dear right here in this church family. In fact, providentially, we'll be speaking about rest today, a rest, a security that Naomi will try to obtain through Ruth, through Boaz for Ruth. And you know something? We know that the only true rest, is that, Miss Ashley, that comes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and trusting in him as Savior. That's where our rest lies. In Jesus' name. Let us go to the book of Ruth. As we try to just bring all this together. And isn't it, think about God's providence. I mean, you can't make this up in a bet. I'm going to read in a second. I just want to come down here because God is a God that's on the move. And I want to say this, by God's providence, we are in the third. Now, wait a minute. You got to get this. We're in the third chapter of Ruth. Are we not this morning, providentially? Do you know what the third chapter of Ruth is about? Naomi finding rest for Ruth. I mean, you can't make that up in a bet. Here the world is in turmoil. This week, we have the coronavirus that's been going on for 2 months now. And now this thing with George Floyd. And just think, we are landing in the third chapter of Ruth, where Naomi is to find what? Rest for Ruth. Nikki, come on. This is way above our pay grade. And this is how I want you to see how God operates. And Benjamin, you have found rest over the last month or two, have you not? Because God is a God of rest. So let's read the scriptures, and you can't make it up in a bet. Look, as we open up the text, here I am, I'm probably in some little corner now, right? We got the text up there starting in the third division of Ruth. The Bible says this, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security or rest for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do. And she said to all that you say, I will do. This is some strange stuff. I mean, you know, we read this. This is definitely, you know, out of our cultural sphere, so to speak. But I want to think about a couple of things before we kind of move on here. Taylor, I think one of the key factors that we noticed last week was that Naomi was getting out of her funk a little bit. She was starting to see a glimmer of hope. She started to understand the providence of God. She started to, remember, Gene, you can't, Chief, remember, you can't look forward towards providence. Elmer, you only could look back towards providence. You could only say, wow, this is why these things are happening. So here, I think Naomi is starting to realize that what happened with them, she's looking back and saying, God is in this. And in the beginning, we know that Naomi thought that God was far away. Remember, woe is me, and don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me bitter. Call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant. So, and we had depicted that this journey. Listen, here's the thing, Benjamin. Listen to this: the journey in God, the journey in Christ, is not where you start; it's where you end. You get, and so here, you know, the journey is not where you begin. It's where one ends up. Remember, Paul says, forget what lies behind. Stretch our neck forward into the high calling of Christ Jesus. See, we are not finished products. God is the potter. We're the clay. Naomi here is being shaped by God through certain circumstances in his providential care. We said this because the book of Ruth is just. Let me use this word, Taylor, enveloped with providence. And providence is when you look back, and you say, man, God's hand was in this all the while. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, we don't know when God is moving. We don't know he's operating. But the beauty about this text is Naomi starting to realize, Ashley, that God is involved. That God is involved. Don't charge me, Miss Ashley. You came to this church, and I mentioned it before. You came to this church, and you were just coming because of Grandpa, and at the end of the day, couldn't wait to leave, but God had his hand on it the whole time. You too, Taylor. You too. And this is what Naomi's starting to realize. And all of us, like night. Now listen to this. We ended last week in the book of Revelation. We saw a glimpse of the finished product, the 144, the finished product. But remember, we're all works in progress. Naomi realizes that. In fact, Naomi now, because she's realizing that God is involved, now what she wants to do is she wants to find rest. She wants to find security for Ruth. And that's where we kind of pick up here. She wants to find rest and security. And she's kind of formulating a plan. Now, think about this. Sometimes we're not good readers of the text because we like to just read. But listen, there's no excuse. You guys have been locked down for 2 months. You guys should be good readers of the text. But think about this. Most of the book of Ruth, up to this point, has been done in public. Remember, Ruth's testimony was on display. Boaz's generosity. Even Naomi's fears. All these characteristics, Nikki, were worn on their sleeves, right? We've seen them. But what you're going to notice, if you're a good reader in the book of Ruth, the providential work of God's going to be done in a corner by two people. Just like Ruth and Naomi, this is in the house alone, and God is formulating a plan through Naomi. So watch that. We know later that where Ruth is going to come to the threshing floor, just her and Boaz. So now God is going to start using his providence between two people, so to speak. Now God's special providence most times is hidden from the world. It happens in the covert areas that God has set up to bring his outcomes to fruition. Now, before I think about that for a second, we have to remember, the people hearing this story, so let me say this rightly. When this story's being, when they're hearing it, they're looking back on what happened. And they relate that to their own situation. That's important because as we look at this story now, as we look at God's providence, as we look at how God worked in the book of Ruth and bringing all these things to fruition, is the same way we have to look back on it in what's happening today, in light of today. Now, I don't know what was happening in 900 or 1000 BC, because this story took place probably in 1300. But when the people are hearing this story, whatever they're going through, they're turning around and saying, look what God providentially did for Ruth and Boaz. How does this apply to our life today? And that's why the Bible is living and active. We have a lot to apply this to today. If God's providence, as we believe, is all over the map, then whatever's happening today is providentially ordained by God. What can we learn from it? And that's a serious question. And that's a question that we all have to kind of think about. Now, think about special providences when people are alone with God. Remember Jacob? He wrestled with an angel. You remember? And the Lord broke his hip in grace because Jacob liked to depend on himself. You know, he was a big dude and he was a scrappler, but the Lord broke his hip. Him and Jacob together, right? What about Hagar? Remember Hagar? She was encountered the voice of God in the desert as her child was dying. Mary, the mother of our Lord, visited by an angel. Right? You see God working this out. While alone in the temple, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, visited by an angel concerning John the Baptist. And eventually we're going to see Ruth and Boaz in a field. Wait a minute. Think about this. The line of David that will come through the line of Christ is going to be somewhere in a field. I mean, a field. You know, between Ruth and Boaz, and it's going to be somewhere in a field between two people, and some Ruth going to uncover in his feet. I hope he washed them. But I'm saying, just think about that. Think about what's going to come out of that. I mean, that's the line of David, the line of Christ in these. I mean, you can't make this up in a bet. This is exactly what God is doing. This is why the Bible says never despise the day of small things. Don't despise the day that you walked in this church, Ashley, 2 years ago for a Bible study. God was using that. Just like he used it here in this field in Bethlehem, so to speak. This is the God we serve. Look at the verses we just read. God is dealing privately through his divine providence, just two human beings carrying out the purposes of God behind closed doors. Now, Hubbard makes a brilliant deduction here. Earlier, Naomi had wished for Ruth to find rest and security, telling her, go back to Moab, remember? She says, man, you need to find rest in your hometown. It comes to show you, me first, how small-minded we are, man, right? I mean, we think we know everything. Here Naomi says, listen, Ruth, you need to go back to your hometown. I can't give you a husband. I can't even feed you. I mean, we just got food back there, but I don't know what's going on. Woe is me, you need to go back. In Naomi's mind, that was the proper thing to do. But the problem is that was not in God's mind. And that's why I always say, Elmer, we got to get into something that God is doing, God is doing. But now, verse 1, we see the operation of God and the initiative of Naomi coming under the umbrella of God's providence. Naomi wants to seek security or rest for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. But now it's not the rest. She doesn't say, go back to Moab. Now she realizes God is using her to bring the rest that Ruth needs. And man, in a world today that we are imploring for rest right now, I just love this story. It's lining up with everything that we're going through today. So the rest that God has ordained is in Bethlehem, not in Moab. And just think about this. I mean, can you think about that God is actually using Naomi to bring about God's providence with Ruth and Boaz? And it's way above our pay grade that actually through this ordeal, through this marriage, the line of Christ is going to come. I mean, this is the line of Christ. You are a Christian today. You are a Christian today, yes, because of the sovereignty and the providence of God and the election of God. But your story, Gene, starts here. That's where your story starts, here. And we don't get that enough. I mean, we are reading a providential story that we can look back that has huge ramifications for our life. Huge ramifications. This is a crossover, as I mentioned, for Naomi. She has now crossed over, getting into something God is doing. And this is a place that only God can take us. And what do we have? You guys are going to be full with this. We have, Nikki, divine sovereignty and human responsibility. And we said, Spurgeon said, that's an antinomy. Those things run this way. Only God makes them meet. Only God can make those meet. And we see it all over this text. All over this text. Now, right now in this time, in the book of Ruth, there's desperate measures, desperate times. Naomi is trying to find rest for Ruth. Lenski depicts rest is better translated as home. She's seeking security for Ruth, treating her as family. There's a huge transition in the book. You know something? I read this. I don't know. If I read something and I don't remember the name, I'll say one expositor, because it's really important when you read something and you preach it in a sermon, you want to give people the credit that you've read it from. So one expositor said this. He says, even when God seems to be looking the other way, he's not. Now let me say that. Even when God seems to be looking the other way, he's not. I mean, in this story, Naomi thought God was looking the other way. Was she not? But he's not looking the other way. Even though, listen, we live in a world right now that's in unrest. We know that. I mean, look, not only with the coronavirus, but what's happening all over this world. I mean, come on. I mean, could you believe? Now, listen, could you believe that 4 days ago, there would be something happening that would take that coronavirus would actually be put on the back burner. No way. No, that coronavirus, you'd think you'd be talking about that. I mean, this until it goes, until they find a vaccine. But no, see, something else popped in. Something else. It shows you the unrest of the world. It shows you that the rest that you can only find is in Christ. Because even if they found a vaccine, this happened. And if this didn't happen, something else is going to happen. Because this is not our home, man. Abraham says, I am looking for a city whose maker and builder is of God. And if anything, this has got to give you perspective. This has got to give you a God-given perspective. Right, Nikki? I mean, because something's coming around the corner. And as I was talking to Steve the other day on the phone, you know, he reminded me, and it's true. Yes, we don't fear these things. We look at them, but we have faith through them, and you'll see that. I mean, Ruth becomes a woman of faith, as Naomi does. But at the end of the day, these things are real. They're real. I mean, how could you not think they're real? And you know what? If you're not in Christ, all the world wants to do is just go out. When can we leave? When can we go to the pool? When can we go to the bar? When can we go to the restaurant? I mean, this is the mindset, but please pray for them because they don't know God in Christ. My question is, what are we doing with this time? And here, Naomi formulates this plan because she's thinking, and she's saying, wow, what I thought was meant for evil, God is meant for what, Nikki? For what? Good. So as we look at this, you know, coronavirus and in the wake of all these lootings, I mean, this is crazy. It shows you that the only real rest and security you can find is in Christ. I mean, and that's what we see here. I mean, this is where this is all pointing. Listen, Gene, where's this pointing? This is pointing to the birth of Obed, who is the father of David, who is in the line of Christ. This is the only rest and security that you need. That's all we need. And then you know what? We're living. Look at in verse 2. Naomi's plan is to try to get Ruth and Boaz alone as he winnows barley. Why? Because Boaz is depicted as a covenant brother, a near kinsman, who would be able to find Ruth rest. And there's a twist in that, and that'll happen next week. See, we're living in a world today that rest seems to be far removed from our society. We are living in uncertain times. In fact, Naomi and Ruth were living in uncertain times. The Bible says they lived in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, every man what? Did what was right in his own eye. Oh, we're no different today. No, no? Wait a minute. The Bible says every man did what was right in his own eyes because there was no king in Israel. Well, the book of Ruth is in the same milieu. But wait a minute. You putting on the TV, doesn't it look like every man's doing what's right in his own eyes? Nothing changed but the zip code, Harlan. I mean, you listen, but again, we can find rest and security in Christ. The rest and the security that Naomi is trying to find for Ruth is way above her pay grade. She's looking for Ruth basically to have, you know, security and rest because she's getting older. She wants to do that for her daughter-in-law. Unbeknownst to her, this is way deeper, way bigger, way larger. But Nikki, Gene first, we're small-minded. That's the way it is. We're small-minded. But God, as we know, has got a wonderful plan here. See, listen, think about this. The rest that Naomi's trying to find Ruth, it's not the eagles. Here I go. It's not a peaceful, easy feeling. See, Taylor, you didn't know. When I said eagles, you thought I misspoke, right? She looked at me like, what is he saying? What is eagles? See, the rest, you got it, Chief. The rest that Naomi is trying to find Ruth is not a peaceful, easy feeling. That was the eagles, right? Okay, you know now, Taylor, right? And if it wasn't, Rachel will get me later. But yes, it wasn't some peaceful, easy feeling, but security, and that security for us only comes in Christ. It's not I feel good. Listen, there's a lot of times in this world you're not going to feel good. How could you feel good now with all the stuff that's going on? But it's the security and the rest, Miss Ashley, that you have, Miss Taylor, in Christ. That, you know, with this is a picture book of in the Old Testament. This is pointing all to Jesus, the whole book here in the book of Ruth. So it's not a peaceful, easy feeling, but it's a security in Christ. The rest that the world offers is elusive. Here today, gone tomorrow. Look at verse 3 by Naomi. Her daughter-in-law, we see instructions by Naomi for her daughter-in-law to prepare by putting on perfume and getting dressed. Now, I was thinking about Miss Ashley and Taylor when I was, because you know, I've been with them now for 9 weeks. Nikki, I wasn't even thinking about you on this one, but listen, in those days, I'll tell you why. In those days, now listen, women, Ashley and Taylor, in those days, they had two sets of clothes. Two. One for work and one for dress. Is that all you got, Taylor? You have two sets of clothes, right? Yeah, right. Okay. Miss Ashley, that's all you have? And Miss Ashley's got 50 hats, never mind two sets of clothes, right? But think about this. In those days, they had two sets of clothes. One for work and one to go out. And Naomi says, Ruth, don't put on the work clothes. Put on the nice clothes and go to the field. There wasn't ironing boards. They didn't iron. They didn't say, oh, should I wear the pink or should I wear the... No, that was whatever it was. And I know, but as I was writing this, I was thinking, yes, about Taylor and Ashley saying they'd never go for this. They would never go for this. That's all they had was two sets of clothes, one for work and one for dress. Hubbard depicts, and I agree, that Naomi has calculated as carefully as she could, depicting that when Boaz is content after eating and drinking would be the best time to converse with him. With the backdrop of human initiative and divine providence, God works in calculating ways. He's a strategic God. Do you remember? You remember in the book of Esther? You remember when Esther was there and she was queen and Mordecai is saying, hey man, listen, you have been put here for what? Such a time as this. You know, Esther's enjoying herself. She's the queen. And he says, listen, if you don't do something now, deliverance is going to come from another place. But don't think you're going to be exempt. And this is, we know from the book of Esther, that again, you got human initiative, but God's providence is all over it. You don't know if you're in the things of God, if you are in the things of God, trump tight with God, God is using you to bring about his providence. But you got to be in the things of God. I mean, and here, you as we read here, this is a plan that's formulating here. He's a strategic God. In fact, all the while that Naomi was sulking, so to speak, it kept her in the wrong frame of mind. That is why we must think all our thoughts after him. He is a God who's able to replace faith over fear. I mean, that's the kind of God he is. And we have listen, when you look at the world today, there looks like there's a lot to fear. But God is able to replace that. And I mentioned I had a conversation with Steve concerning that the other day. Now, one expositor rightly depicts Naomi is telling Ruth to be practical and discreet. And more than that, God is in it. And that's so important for us to grasp, again, this human responsibility and divine initiative. I mean, think about how God works in humanity. What's the greatest story ever told, really? God working and bringing Christ through the birth channels of a woman. I mean, this is God. I mean, this is God. I mean, this is how God operates. And I mean, and you know, Mary and Joseph, they weren't big wigs. They didn't live in a mansion or a, you know. I mean, come on, look where our Savior was born, in a feeding trough. I know they use the word stable, but that's not the original. He was born in a feeding trough. I mean, Harlan, I told you, man, if it was me, I would have came down 6'8", tat down and ready. Taylor's saying, no, okay. But see, but this is how God works. He works in the mundane things of life. We got to love that. And this should motivate us to get into something God is doing. This ordinary plan by Naomi in finding Ruth rest will ultimately, in its lineage, give all God's people an eternal rest in Christ Jesus. I mean, there's a huge picture here. It's a huge picture. In verse 4, there's a crucial command by Naomi to her daughter-in-law saying, when he lies down, you shall notice where he lies to sleep so you can uncover his feet. I mean, what the heck is that? I mean, this is, right? We don't get this. This is cultural stuff. Uncover his feet. I mean, you know, we're saying, what does that mean? Now, this does not have, now, believe it or not, this does not have sexual connotations. In the command to uncover Boaz's feet, this was a type of cultural maneuver challenging the next of kin the responsibility to give security and or rest, which at times may be marriage. Boaz would take, I believe, he would understand it in that way, but he turns around and says, we know next week, but I'm not next. There's somebody else. So the narrative is going to take a little bit of a turn. We'll discuss that next week. And then something's interesting, and I hope you guys can pick this up. Remember Naomi said, when you see him, he's going to tell you all that you should do. Doesn't the Bible say that? He doesn't say nothing. Ruth, come on, women. I mean, Ruth takes the initiative. I mean, when you read next week, Boaz is so nervous, he's startled. Ruth had to take the initiative. Because I love that Naomi says, hey, listen, you know, you're going to do this. He's going to tell you everything that you have to do. He was like, who? And then Ruth takes the initiative. Just like a woman, right? I mean, come on. Ain't no nothing changed but the zip code. We know. Don't worry, Taylor. We'll get into that next week when there's a lot of people around, maybe. We'll see that. Now, please hear this. This is a huge step of faith. There is much that hangs in the balance. Now, we can ask questions. This seems odd. We might even ask questions that say this may seem a little promiscuous, maybe, right? But those are the wrong questions. Why? Because the Bible does not address them. But we must remember Ruth is a Moabitess. This is almost as daring as the plan with Tamar and Judah. Right? You remember, Ashley, your mom was... Your mom played Tamar, right? Somebody else played Judah. I won't mention his name. But somebody else played Judah and somebody played Tamar. Right? I mean, so remember, we see this stuff. So right away, our mind goes in the gutter, you know? The thing is that those are the wrong questions. The right questions are, what is this going to lead to? That's the right question. What is this going to lead to? Why is God using this cultural phenomenon, so to speak, in laying down after your winnowing barley and you know, uncovering feet and all that stuff? God is using this in his cultural milieu. And that's the closest we can get. The original audience would say, I've seen this before, and I understand what is at stake. And we know what's really at stake. In exploring the text, one thing is clear, that God will use human desire to bring about covenant seed. That is his goal, which he will ultimately accomplish. So it is in this God-given human desire that would eventually bring about God's ultimate plan, culminating in Christ through the Davidic line. This is huge stuff. The players, whether Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, have no idea what is going on, but the original audience or the original hearers are seeing the brilliance of God. Remember, they're looking back on this. See, for them, they look back. This is amazing. So for them, when they hear the story, they look back on the Davidic line. They don't know, but look at us. When we hear this story, we don't only look back on the Davidic line, Nikki. We look, that line comes into the line of who? Christ. See, we know the story even better than them because we're looking back on providence. This, when they hear in the story, they say, wow, look at God used this. Boaz and Naomi, Obed, David. You know, remember the Bible says that every man was doing what was right in their own eyes. There was no king in Israel. And then a king would come in David. And the original hearers would say, wow, look at the way God used it. What about for us? We not only look at David, we look at Christ. You can't make this up, chief, in a bet, man. And this is what this is where the text is forward looking, so to speak. In this case, God ordains the Davidic line along with human initiative, but in our case, how the Davidic line would be the catalyst to Christ. You know what scholars call this? Progressive revelation. It's progressive revelation. First Peter depicts when the prophets of old spoke about in their time concerning Christ, it was not fully revealed to them. You know, they were speaking of a Messiah, but it was not fully revealed, right? And again, the original hearers of this text see the line of David, but we look back on the line of Christ. What a picture. What a picture. Look at verse 5. There's a lot more than meets the eye at first glance. The text is clear. Ruth will obey all that Naomi has dictated. Now, I want to think about this. Frymer and Kinsky depict that Ruth would obey even if it were not sanctioned by tradition. In other words, as Hubbard rightly states, Ruth asked no question, raised no objections, and sought no reasons. Hubbard reminds us, we don't see any fear by Ruth, any expectations by Ruth. We don't even see any faith here by Ruth. She's just listening to whatever Naomi is saying, and she's agreeing. She's agreeing. But the question is a looming one. See, here's the question. So for the question that we're asking, and for the original hearers, would all this line up with God? That's the question. You know, remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible says what Joseph's brothers meant for evil, God meant for what? Good. So the question is, would all these instructions, are they all going to line up with the providence of God? That's the question. People will say all the time to me, let me make a practical point if I can. How do I know I'm in the things that God's doing? Well, more times than not, you can look back and see that God was in that. But when you're doing it, you're just doing it by faith. You're going out and you're doing what you have to do. Listen, when we decided to visit Taylor and obviously we had myself and Dawn, you know, we believe that's, you know, that's what God's people do. They visit the ones that are, you know, in captivity, so to speak. But you know, we do that because that's what we're called to do. But now we look back and say, wow, God was really in this. See, because we discussed this as elders, we can't look ahead sometimes towards providence. I mean, how many times, you know, we might have witnessed to people and we're doing the right thing, but that's all, we don't see it go farther than that. That's God's business, way above our pay grade. Listen, Benjamin's here today. I mean, Benjamin will come to the church a lot. And, you know, me and Rachel will try to look out. But look at this. He's stronger than me now. This is how God works. He works all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And that's what we see here in this book here of Ruth. Now, that's the question. Will these plans line up with God's? And this is something that we will look back on. And obviously, if we look back on this text, Nick, this is definitely lining up with what God is doing. We know God's providence is all over this narrative, which has included human decisions that God fits into his overall scheme. Before we get to the book of Revelation, what's the theme here, Gene? Rest. That's the theme. Rest. I mean, Naomi wants to find Ruth what? Rest. Security. That's the theme. Aren't we today? This world is elusive. This world, isn't it looking for some type of rest? Some type of utopia? In the midst of a virus and in the midst of all this stuff that's going on in the wake of this murder? I mean, this is the Bible. Today, the world is looking for some type of rest. It's worth mentioning, as we did in verse 2, rest today is becoming much more elusive as the world is teetering amidst plague, politics, murder, and mayhem. Right? I mean, that's what we got. Right? We live in a world that's got plague. Amen? Do we have plague? Gene, sorry, we got politics? Yes. Do we got murder? Do we got mayhem? But we're still looking for rest. Your rest and my rest is only in Christ and him crucified and resurrected. That's the only rest we have in a world gone bad. Naomi knows the importance of this rest because God has brought her through a period of unrest, of losing husband, children, one daughter-in-law. Maybe this period, here's my challenge before we go to Revelation. Maybe this period of unrest, for people listening out there, for maybe people in here, maybe this period of unrest will give you the ultimate rest that you really need to find in Christ. Maybe it's this unrest that will give you the ultimate rest that's in Christ. I was talking to Harlan the other day as we kind of once in a while run into each other. He rides his bike and I'm trying to think I'm back in prison lifting weights every day, but whatever. And he's been telling me that this has been a blessing to him, this lockdown. He's been reading and studying and coming up with all kinds of questions that, you know, I'm lifting weights and he wants to know about predestination. And that's okay. That's good. Because he's using the time wisely. My question is, are we using the time wisely? That's the question. Because you know what? I know. And you know, Taylor, if this all passes, and I don't know if it will, if coronavirus passes and obviously the next story comes up, have we used this time wisely? Because I remember 9/11, for 2-3 weeks after that, everybody was in church. After that, ain't nothing changed but the zip code. And that's the question. Are we using this time wisely? Are we using this time wisely? These are huge questions that we are facing ourselves in a time of unrest on so many levels. But remember, he is a God of rest. Let's go to Revelation. Let's close this out. Now watch this. Now wait a minute, Chief. Don't put me in the corner yet. I feel like he puts me in these timeouts. I remember when he first told me this, he says, Pastor, this is what he says. What now, Chief? He says, when you're reading the scriptures, don't move. Imagine telling an Italian not to move. I mean, Elmer, he told me, when you read the scriptures behind there, you can't move. I says, I'm born to move. I'm only kidding. Right? But I'm saying, he tells me you can't move. And then I forgot what I'm saying now. I said, but let me go up back up there because I forgot what I was going to say. And that's okay. When you get my age, those things happen. I want you to listen to this language. Nikki, Ashley, I want you to be a good reader of the text. I'm gonna reflect my voice a little bit, but I want you to listen. I got something up my sleeve. Now watch this. 13th, is it the 14th division of Revelation, starting in the 9th verse, talking about the third angel. Then another angel, a third one, following them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they will what? They will have no rest. Day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name, hear the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Watch this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so they may what? Rest from their labors, and their deeds follow with them. Gene, no rest or rest. I mean, here it is. This is the third angel in this sequence. He announces judgment for the ones that follow the beast, or better, give allegiance to the beast and receive the full wrath of God. Beale depicts that those who will follow the beast in the end and those who are following the beast now will find no rest. You see how Naomi was formulating a plan for Ruth, that she would find rest, find security, but ultimately that would be in Christ, as they, God's people, will rest from their labors in this life to the next. But Naomi speaks better than she knows, because the rest she is speaking for Ruth will culminate to all God's people, as the line of David will come from Ruth and Boaz. Either you will have rest or you will have no rest. It's a huge picture. I mean, this is the exact rest that Naomi wanted to find Ruth, but she speaks better than she knows. As I mentioned, the line of David will ultimately lead to Christ, which would be the ultimate rest, coming in the form of eternal security for those who are in Christ. See, listen, man, there's always going to be unrest in this world. Taylor, is there not? There's always going to be unrest. Even if this pandemic passes, something else will come in this sin-soaked world to give us unrest. But fear not. Fear not. The Bible says he has overcome the world. So it is the rest in Christ that is beyond the world's understanding. And that rest that Naomi speaks is far-reaching, as far as the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. What a picture. Well, I mean, think about this. I think about unrest. I want to think about hell just for a second. I don't want to think so much on it. I think about this. But we need to. If we're good preachers and teachers of the Bible, we don't only preach heaven, we preach hell. And that word unrest, In the word of torment, let me just make a synopsis. Just think about the things that somebody who would wind up apart from Christ, think about the things that they would be thinking about. when somebody might have came up to them and witnessed the gospel and refused. Just think about, and there's no cure. See, there's no turning back from that. Miss Ashley, if you get sick, if you get a cold, we go buy you medicine and you get better. But there is no getting better from this unrest. There is no getting better. Don't soft stroke this stuff. This isn't just some prayer. This is, you have to be in the things of God, hook, line, and sinker, or you will have no rest for eternity. You can't go buy an aspirin, Ashley. You can't go buy something for your cough or your cold. This is the question. But then look at the eternal rest in Christ. The rest that Naomi was bringing to Ruth, and that Ruth, through the line of David and the line of Christ, would bring to his people. Here's the question, Miss Ashley. Either we will have unrest for eternity, or we will have rest for eternity. That's the question. And you know what? Our hearts, the Bible says they're deceitfully wicked. Who can know them? This is a challenge to me first. We don't want to be deceived. Unrest for eternity. There ain't turning, Ashley, there's no pills for that. That's how you, that unrest that the book of Revelation is talking about, that's it. It's over. That's why this is so serious. These are serious questions. These are serious contemplations. And you know what? God has given us a time out. And I'm telling you, and the way sometimes the world is going now, we might be in a time out for a while because we don't see a lot of social distancing and stuff. These are serious matters. Serious times. I just ask you to contemplate. Because here's the picture. I'm not selling, this is no selling life insurance. We don't play that in this church. But the problem is this. Here's the issue. Either you will have unrest for eternity, or you will have rest for eternity. That's between you and the Lord. That stuff is hard stuff, man. But you know what, Elma? That's how we have to preach. Because we don't want to tickle people's ears. We don't want to do that. Harlan, there's too much at stake as an elder. We don't want to tickle people's ears. That's not what we do here. This stuff is hard. This stuff is hard. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to find rest in Christ. That's what this is about. Lord, we pray. There is so much turmoil going on in the world right now. We pray. I want to pray right now for not only the people listening, for these dear brothers and sisters here today. I want to pray specifically, yes, for the people listening, but I want to pray for Harlan, my fellow elder, Elmer, Chief, Gene, Taylor, Benjamin, Nikki, and Ashley. I want to pray for them specifically. Lord, that you would, in your ultimate sovereignty and providence, give them security in eternal rest. And Lord, if they are in places that they need not be, drive them back to the gospel. Drive them back to their knees. And for anybody else listening who knows in their heart that they have not, that they've been kind of pitter-pattering or sitting on the fence, just think about eternal unrest or eternal rest. Get back to where you need to be. We preach life unto life or death unto death. Please, Lord, bless this church. Bless these people that have come here today. And bless the ones, Lord. Bless them who are listening today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord.